वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We'll chant together. नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं त्वं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमा ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे रुमाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेमप्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्या नाम्ने गौरद्विषये नमः। हे कृष्णा करुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधाकांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। सर्वशास्त्राब्धि पीयूषा सर्ववेदैक सत्फला सर्वसिद्धान्तरत्नाढ्या सर्वलोकैकदृक्प्रदा सर्वभागवतप्राण श्रीमद्भागवतं प्रभो कलिध्वान्तोदितादित्य श्रीकृष्णपरिवर्तित। कायेन वाचा मनसेन्द्रियैर्वा बुद्ध्यात्मनावानुसृतस्वभावात् करोति यद् यद् सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयेत्। कायेन वाचा मनसेन्द्रियैर्वा बुद्ध्यात्मनावानुसृतस्वभावात् करोति यद् यद् सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयेत्। कायेन वाचा मनसेन्द्रियैर्वा बुद्ध्यात्मनावानुसृतस्वभावात् करोति यद् यद् सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयेत्। कायेन वाचा स्वभावा करोति यद्यत् सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयेत् कायेन वाचा मनसेन्द्रियर्वा
Mata disso.
Aí na vacha, manasindriyerva. Buddhyatmana vanusrita subhava. Yatyat sakalam parasmai.
Word to word meaning kayena with the body, vacha speech, manasa mind, indriyai senses, va or buddhya with the intelligence, atmana the purified consciousness, va or anusrita followed, swabhavat, according to one's conditioned nature, karoti, one does, yat yat, whatever, sakalam, all, parasmai, to the supreme, narayanaya iti, thinking this is for Narayan, samarpayet, he should offer, tat, that. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In accordance with the particular nature one has acquired and conditioned life, whatever one does with body, words, mind, senses, intelligence, or purified consciousness, one should offer to the Supreme thinking, this is for the pleasure of Lord Narayan. So we are continuing from where we left off yesterday. The words karoti yat yat sakalam parasmai narayanayeti samarpayet tat, in this verse are very significant. A similar verse is found in Bhagavad Gita 9.27. Yat karoshi yad ashnasi yad juhoshi dadashi yat yat tapasya shikontiya tat kurushma darpanam. O son of Kunti, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, and all the austerities that you perform should be done as an offering unto me. The objection may be raised, since our ordinary activities are performed with the material body and material mind, not by the spirit soul, how can such activities be offered to the Supreme Lord, who is completely transcendental to the material world? How can such activities be considered as spiritual? In answer to this, it is stated in the Vishnu Puran, Varna Shamacharavata Purushena Parapuman Vishnur Aradhyate Pantha Nanya Tattoshakaranam. One who wants to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu must accept the system of Varnasham Dharma and worship the Lord through the execution of His prescribed duties. In Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Lord has personally taken credit for establishing the system of Varnasham Dharma. Chaturvarnya maya srishtam gunakarma vibhagasha. Therefore, if one offers his work within the Varnasham Dharma system to the Supreme Lord, such work is counted as devotional service. According to one's swabhava or nature, one may work as an intellectual or priest, as an administrator or military man, as an agriculturist or mercantile man, or as a laborer or craftsman. And while working, everyone should meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, thinking, Yat sakalam parasmai narayanaya. I am working for the Supreme Lord. Whatever result comes from my work, I shall accept the bare minimum for my personal maintenance, and the rest I shall offer for the glorification of Lord Narayan. Srila Jiva Goswami has pointed out, Kaminam tu sarvathaiva na dushkarma arpanam. One cannot offer dushkarma or sinful wicked activities to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The four pillars of sinful life are illicit sex, meat eating, gambling and intoxication. Such activities are never acceptable as offerings to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The example may be given that although in a free society, each person is allowed to choose his own occupation, even a democratic government will not allow a citizen to choose the occupation of thief or murderer. In the same way, According to the laws of God, one is invited to work according to his own nature in the varnashram system, but one is forbidden to adopt a criminal life of sinful activities, violating the laws of God. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has given a nice description of how one should offer one's ordinary activities to the Supreme Lord. He says that an ordinary sense gratifier begins his activities in the morning by passing his stool and urine, cleaning his mouth, brushing his teeth, bathing, meeting his friends and family members, and discussing with them the day's business. In this way, one has so many activities during the day, and a sense gratifier executes all these activities for his personal material enjoyment. A karmi, on the other hand, working under the jurisdiction of the Karmakanda section of the Vedas, will perform the same activities for the pleasure of the demigods and his forefathers. Thus, according to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, a devotee of the Supreme Lord Narayan should similarly perform all of his daily activities for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. In this way, everything we do throughout the day will become bhakti anga, or a supplementary aspect of our devotional service to Krishna. In accordance with the particular nature one has acquired in conditional life, whatever one does with body, words, mind, senses, intelligence, or purified consciousness, one should offer to the Supreme thinking, this is for the pleasure of Lord Narayan. So at the outset, I would like to thank the temple authorities and management for giving me this opportunity to share some humble thoughts on this wonderful verse. Yesterday we had Radhapati Prabhu speaking on this verse very wonderfully, and he gave it a tag, paradigm shift tag to this verse. So I was just thinking what tag, other tags can come for this verse. So it's Nokia verse for me. It's a Nokia verse. It's connecting Krishna with the Jiva. How does one connect the Lord? The Jiva is here in this material world. How does he connect? So as soon as I thought of this word Nokia, then I was thinking, what would be Vodafone? What words could fit Vodafone? So sarvasya chaham hriti sannivishtam patasmatar gyan punam cha maya tatam idam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina. So various ways, even advertisement can be engaged in Krishna service. It can help you remember the Lord. That's not the best way to do it, but if you have that kind of inclination. So this particular section of Bhagavatam, if you remember in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, when the canto began, Parikshit Maharaj begins with several questions about the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he basically says, my dear Shukdev Goswami, please explain me all these things, and also something which I may not have asked but is important for me. And this particular chapter begins without asking a question. Shukdev Goswami directly goes into the pastime and he begins. So this is clearly indicating that the section that is going to follow from here on is extremely crucial for all of us trying to purify our hearts. So generally, conditioned soul, all of us, we live with the paradigm of aham mameti. But Bhagavatam is inviting us to change our paradigm. Not necessarily situations, but our consciousness. The paradigm of, instead of aham mameti, it is narayanayeti samarpayetat. How do I connect everything to the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So sage Kavi, among the 9 Yogendras, Navyogendra, they would travel together, like the 4 Kumaras or Prachetas, they will all travel together, do everything together in the spiritual harmony. So these Navyogendras, as many speakers have spoken before also, sons of Rishabdev. So he is answering the first question of Maharaj Nimi, how does one engage in devotional service? So previous 3 verses we have seen how sage Kavi has glorified bhakti and the process of bhakti, and this verse basically gives what do you do in bhakti. What exactly you will have to do, you have to basically connect everything to the Supreme Lord. And the next verse which will come will speak about what will happen if you don't engage in bhakti yoga or don't connect to the Supreme Lord. So several themes can be spoken on this verse, and I'm sure the speakers ahead also who are speaking on this verse will enlighten us. I will make a humble attempt to just speak on this theme of whoever or wherever you are, you have to somehow connect to Krishna. The process of establishing a relationship with Krishna. The process of bhakti is not necessarily about changing one's external situation,
that may or may not follow. But what is critical is changing one's desires. Because without changing desires, even if one changes position, he will not be able to contribute in a constructive manner to his own Krishna consciousness or Krishna consciousness of the society at large. So what is the need of establishing that connection? We'll talk about some of these aspects. What is the need, what is the process, and what is the interference which obstructs us, whatever time we have at our disposal. So Narad Muni, in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when he is having his counseling meeting with Vyasdev, Vyasdev is in confusion. I did so much, I'm still not satisfied. So then Narad Muni kind of very gently but firmly corrects his course of action. And there he speaks in one of the verses, in the fifth chapter, he says, Etat samsh uchitam brahmans tapatraya chikitsitam yadishvare bhagavati karma brahmani bhavitam. That, my dear Vyasdev, the best remedial measure to eradicate the miseries of conditioned soul is to teach him how to connect his activities to Krishna. And we shall explore this particular theme, why it is important to connect our activities to the Supreme Lord. And Bhagavatam serves that purpose for the conditioned jiva, to give him a clue of how in my current conditioned stage I can still connect to the Supreme Transcendence. Because after hearing these instructions, only our Vyasdev wrote or compiled Srimad Bhagavatam. Anartho pashamam sakshat bhakti yoga madokshaje lokasya janato vidvam chakre satvata samhita. When he saw that people in general have lost the path of bhakti yoga, which is a means to connect into Krishna, he composed chakre satvata samhita. This satvata samhita, this samhita for devotees, this Bhagavatam was actually composed. So that is the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam. Even Maitreya Rishi says to Vidura, Soham Rinam Shulla Sukhaya Dukkham Mahad Gatanam Viramaya Dasya. He is saying, this Bhagavatam is written for those people who are trying to enjoy some paltry sense gratification at a great expense. Mahad Gatanam Viramaya Dasya Pravartaye Bhagavata Puranam Yadaha Sakshat Bhagavan Rishabhya. And therefore this Bhagavatam was given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to eradicate these unwanted miseries of the living entity. So sometimes when people come to the path of spirituality, it's quite confusing, because generally path of spirituality will demand renunciation. That's the general paradigm. But here Kavi is asking about engaging yourself in matter. So why is he not recommending renunciation per se? Like if you were at the time of Shankaracharya, before you could attend his class or become his disciple, you have to accept sannyas, leave everything. That's the prerequisite qualification. So that's why he's not around here these days, because nobody will come. So why is it that the Bhagavat principle, Bhagavatam, is recommending that you can engage or deal with matter as a means to eradicate misery? So Prabhupada writes in that purport, in the first canto, he says, the best thing is, after all, to get relief from all material activities and engage oneself completely in hearing the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. But in case of the absence of such an opportunity means we may also not be qualified, or our material circumstances may not be mature enough where we can take such a step. So saying, in absence of such an opportunity, one should try to engage in the service of the Lord everything for which one has specific attraction. If you have attraction for something, engage that in the service of the Supreme Lord. So this is quite interesting, because in the path of devotional service, in the path of giving Krishna consciousness to others, sometimes, you know, out of enthusiasm, people may inspire vairagya in the heart of people whom they are trying to cultivate in devotional service. But before vairagya comes, there has to be attachment to Krishna. So renunciation has to be cultivated and experienced, and not imposed, either on ourselves or on somebody else, because it won't survive. Therefore Krishna says, mithyachara sauchyate, he'll just become a pretender. it should be organic, and each individual will experience vairagya, virakti coming in his heart in terms of his own spiritual advancement. And to facilitate this organic growth and development of this detachment from matter, the system of varnashram is in place. If you look at the four varnas and four ashramas, the whole idea is at each stage you gradually become detached from material conditions. So one boy was asking me in one college program, he said, Prabhuji, your varnashram doesn't make sense. I said, what is the problem? He said, everything goes against biological metabolism. When the child is five, you separate him from parents when he needs the parents most and send them to Guru's ashram. When his senses are boiling, you tell him to practice brahmacharya. Then okay, he engages in grihastha ashram for some time. And then now it's time for him to relax at home, play with grandsons, grandchildren, and you tell him one prastha, go away, go to the forest. Now he can't even relax in his home. And after one prastha is over, now it's really time that he needs somebody around him. His wife also should go away, he should take sannyas. So it doesn't make sense. What exactly is... So I had to give him some answer which he could understand. But if you don't understand, if we are not able to appreciate the purpose of the whole varnashram, that is to inspire devotion and inspire gradual awakening of vairagya from this material world, then it will not make sense. So the ultimate gift of varnashram is actually sadhu sangha. That's where it culminates. If you look at all the four stages, brahmachari, vanprastha, sannyasis, they are recommended to be in the association of sadhus. And grihasthas are trained to appreciate and honor and take association of sadhus. So that's like the main, one of the main features. While at the same time, they create a favorable environment by giving prosperity to its practitioners. Because for most of us, and our seniors have taught us this, that unless you have basic material facilities, basic material necessities being fulfilled, even practicing spiritual life is out of question for most of us. So the need for establishing our connection is it removes all the miseries gradually by the process of engaging one's talents in Krishna's service, and also it cures the disease of forgetfulness. So in the same chapter, the next verse, he says, Amayo yascha bhutanam jayate yena sovrata tad evi amaya dravyam. He says, my dear Vyasdev, the same thing which creates a disease, if an expert physician administers it, it can act as a medicine also. So work has caused bondage for a jiva in this world. Now you inspire them to engage those work in Krishna's service so that the same work can liberate them also. So he uses the word tad ev, that very same thing can actually liberate him from material condition. So this is interesting, because what happens if we neglect this principle of using everything in Krishna's service? Okay, we don't engage everything Krishna Krishna, but we just reject it as illusory or something. So basically, this whole philosophy of propounded by Sripad Shankaracharya was based on this proposition of Vivartavad, right? Our philosophies of Parinamavad, transformation of energies. Everything is a transformation of Krishna's energy. Therefore, it has connection with Krishna and it can go back to Krishna. So we have the facility to engage everything in Krishna's service. But the philosophy of monism will talk about that there cannot be any duality. So whatever variety you see is an illusion. So just reject it. So that's a dangerous thing. If we, and our acharyas have warned us sufficiently to not have Falgu Vairagya or something which has a relationship with Krishna and you give it up, that's not very appreciated. So we may want to offer something, but if the other person doesn't consider or need our offering, then what do? Yes? We want to offer something to someone you love or you admire, but the other person is not interested. Happens all the time in the secular world. Young boys have broken hearts. They want to offer something to the one they love, but they don't reciprocate. So what is in our situation? If I am going to offer something to Krishna, will Krishna accept it? So the Lord's kindness has been explained And once we were having a discussion with some group of students about the peace formula, how the Lord declares, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, I am the enjoyer of all sacrifices. So some boy, one intelligent boy, he was asking me, Prabhuji, why is Krishna so egoistic? I am the enjoyer of all sacrifices. I just tried to explain him, this is not egoism, this is compassion. Because there is nothing in this material world which is worth Krishna's pleasure. He is engaged in the spiritual world with all his divine opulences. He doesn't need to come here and accept your pizza or whatever, cakes or rasmalais. No, he doesn't have to. But he descends out of compassion. He said, if I don't accept, what is their hope? How will they get connected to transcendence? So it is not Krishna's egoism, it is Krishna's compassion. So, and he sings, he is the enjoyer of all sacrifices. That means no one can escape him. You may be whoever you are, you may do whatever you do, but Krishna has the capacity to accept that offering. It's very difficult. You go to some, you know, sometimes very generous devotees invite you for prasad, but you know, Prabhuji, I can't take this and I can't take this and I can just manage this, shows our limitations. But Krishna says, I can enjoy all sacrifices if it is done with love. So whether it is Bhishma's arrows or it is Yashoda's cuddling, Krishna can reciprocate with everything and everywhere in between. So that is his compassion. And therefore, in his enjoyment of all these sacrifices, the result of sacrifices, lies the greatest hope that all of us have, that yes, whatever I am doing, there is a personality who can accept it. And not only accept it, he is a master reciprocator also. So we'll see that. But when a great person accepts our offering, we may become proud. That's another problem we have. Yes or no? So you know, we see that among celebrities, right? Some celebrity walks in and so many thousands of fans are, you know, trying to just get one glimpse, and some rare fellow gets a autograph or something and he becomes really, oh, I'm special, right? Like one celebrity recently posted a selfie on the Facebook, and the lady who was behind that scene, she became famous. So everybody forgot about the celebrity whose selfie was there. Everybody just focused on that lady was born and she became famous. So when you get connection with somebody big, there are chances you may become proud. So that is Jiva's mistake. Because of our pious deeds, because of our past karma, we get a lot of talents, we got a lot of skills. But they are all supposed to be just tools for engaging them in pleasing Krishna. But many times we mistake or take instruments to be our ornaments. And when we take our instruments to be our ornaments, pride comes in our heart. Therefore, Maharani Kunti says, Janmaishwara Shutashibhir Edamana Madhapuman Naivam Arimati Abhidhatum Vaitvama Kinchana Gocharam. That people who are puffed up because of all these instruments that they have, they can't approach you. So this is a serious challenge that we all face in developing our Krishna consciousness, because at one point, whatever talents and skills we have, their perfection is to glorify Krishna. Idam hi pumsham tapasa shutasya vashvishtasya suktasya cha buddhi dattayo avichyuto vart kavibhir nirupito yaduttum shloka gunanu varnanam. Narada Muni is telling Vyasadeva, no need to reject anything. I am not saying all the studies that you have done by studying all the shastras very scrutinizingly is wrong. Just connect them to the Lord. Use them for glorifying Krishna. And Vyasadeva's glory, he didn't become puffed up. He became humble and, brought out Srimad Bhagavatam. So we have to utilize our talents to purify our hearts and not glorify our egos. And that becomes a serious challenge, especially if somebody is talented and is skilled. It may become his greatest obstacle to actually approach Krishna. So whatever powerful things are there in this world, the flip side is also there. They're extremely dangerous also. We may get distracted from the path. Once upon a time, Prabhupada was talking to Yamuna Devi, Mataji, and she was an expert cook, par excellence. And he said, whatever you know, you should teach to other of your god brothers and god sisters also, else you'll become envious. You have to share the talent, you have to share that skill and make sure that it is only being utilized for glorifying and serving Krishna and not our false egos. So, we see that lamentation coming in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam when the Brahman Patnis, they are successful in their endeavor to please Krishna and their husbands are condemning themselves after that. He said, what is the use of our strict regulation, strict study of scriptures, strict followers of celibacy and this and that? We just missed the point. All these ornaments just blinded us so much that we couldn't use them for glorifying and serving Krishna. So in this, so Krishna is kind, but we have to also be careful that we don't make a mistake of claiming those talents to be our own and becoming proud on that level. At the same time, we don't have to imitate somebody else. That's another challenge. Somebody's talented, somebody's skilled, and you know, we see the talent and the skill, but we don't see the sincerity behind the person. The sincerity of purpose behind how he's utilizing those talents and skills, that is not seen. But just the external, you know, achievements, that is becomes very prominent in our mind for a certain reason. So this purport has two very, you know, what do you say, explosive terms, even in Vaishnava theology, Varnashram and Swabhav. And I don't claim to be an authority on either of them, but I'm just sharing some points, some thoughts from purports and Bhagavatam. How one has to use one's Swabhav, this verse is saying, whatever is your condition, nature, from there onwards, just purify our life and, you know, engage everything in the Lord's service. Kayena vacha manasa indriyeva buddhya atmana anusrata swabhava. As per your conditioned nature, you engage everything in Krishna's service. So, there is a great need that while we are conditioned, he's saying, as you are doing that, keep remembering, this is for Narayan, this is for Narayan, this is for Narayan. Yes or no? I seen and I have learned also when we make sometimes bhoga plate inside the altar for the Lord's offering. So the mind may, you know, kind of create some temptation. So you keep repeating, idam Krishna, idam namama. This is for Krishna, this is not for me, this is for Krishna, this is not for me. So repetition is important to create a certain, you know. So 2 years back in the month of April, His Holiness Gaur Krishna Maharaj, he spoke on this particular verse only, right here in this temple hall. And he was telling a story, very interesting. He spoke in Hindi, so it has a punch. But I'll try to do it in English. So he said, how repetition can, you know, create an impact. So he was saying how once upon a time, a smart Brahmana was going, and he had to perform a sacrifice for Kali. So he took a lamb with him. Oh, kya bolte hain usko? Bakri ka bacha, chota sa. So he was carrying that lamb. So 3 thieves saw him, very delicate. So they became very, you know, attracted to the lamb. So they all stood at one kilometer distance. So and Panditji started. So Panditji ne apne kandhe pe aise wo chota sa bakri rakha hua and he's walking. So the first thief sees him, and he tells the Pandit, "Arey Maharaj, aaj bakri ki jagah kutta le aaye." So the Pandit didn't believe him. He said, "Aaj bakri ki jagah kutta, kya pagal ho gaya hai tum? Dikhta nahi kya bakri hai?" "Nahi nahi Maharaj, kutta hai." "Aaj chup kar." So then he walked 1 kilometer more. Second person said, "Maharaj, bakri ki jagah kutta le aaye aaj." So then he said, "Yaar, okay, one person may say." Then he kept the lamp down and he started seeing the ears. "Nahi yaar, hai to bakri ka hi. Bakri hai, kya bakwas karta hai, kuch bhi bolta hai." So he went 1 kilometer more outside his village. Third fellow was standing. "Maharaj, kya bakri ki jagah kutta le aaye aaj?" Now Pandit was in great anxiety. He said, 3 people cannot just goof up things like that. So then he started thinking, "Oh my God, if I go with this kutta inside the village and everybody will make fun of me." So he left the bakri there only. So he was saying, Maharaj was making a point that if a wrong thing repeated time and again can have such an impact, what to speak of repeating the right thing again and again? Nashta prayesha bhadreshu nityam. If we regularly hit our egos, hit our intelligence with this conception, I'm just an eternal servant of Krishna, one day it will sink in. It will sink in. You just have to keep repeating. So, purpose of all our occupation duties under Varnashram, like the Vishnu Puran mentioned, is to develop attraction for Krishna. That is the Samambonam. Now this Varnashram, it may or may not be important in a social setup, but it is definitely helpful in our individual lives. So His Holiness Poonachandra Maharaj, in one of his books, he was explaining that how Varnashram is like choosing your shoe as per your feet size. So you go to a shop and your feet is 8 or 9 or 10 or 11. Generally beyond 10 people don't have shoes. The species change after. So if you have a particular shoe size, you select a shoe and then you forget about it. You don't go and meet a person and show him the shoe. Hari bol, I have 8 number shoe, or 9 number shoe, or 6 number shoe. Or you meet a person and you ask him, tera jute ka number kya hai? No. You relate to the person. So Varna is like that. You engage as per your inclination and then forget about it. You don't have to be constantly, keep spinning it. Find the right shoe and forget about it. Important is journey, not the shoe. The shoe is necessary to have the journey comfortable. And if you have a smaller size shoe and a bigger size shoe, both cases, you won't be able to maneuver your journey. You may walk and hop for some time, but you won't reach your destination. You will tip over. So that is important for all of us individual to understand what is our, and Chaitanya Charitamrita gives a nice, simple tool to understand what's our Varna. He said, just see what kind of problems you like to deal with. What kind of problem excites you. So if there is a philosophical controversy and that, really inspires you to go into Shastra and defeat that person, you have a certain kind of Varna. But if a management issue excites you, if you find a thief in the temple and that excites you, if you hear one of our human beings from the neighboring country is a guest in Bombay and he's around the corner, excites you, security things, so you have certain kind of Varna. If you can make, if you can sell a comb to a brahmachari, you have a certain kind of Varna. You are expert at that, so use that in Krishna service. And you have none of these, and you can just assist somebody, that's also wonderful. But this word Shudra Varna is being so much hammered because of so many reasons that it has almost become like an abuse. And for many of us, it's quite scary to figure out our Varna because we are afraid that what if I'm a Shudra? But in the Vedic scriptures, it's not such a, Maharaj actually explains how Shudra Varna is actually favorable for practicing devotional service. He doesn't have to worry anything. He doesn't have to worry about defeating somebody in a debate. He doesn't worry about exacting taxes. He doesn't worry about, expanding his business. He just does his business of assisting somebody, gets his salary, and he has sufficient time to chant Hare Krishna. Requires a lot of humility to accept that. So, Varnashram is impossible, and that is important unless we are engaged in our own particular natures to whatever possible extent. 100% it won't be possible. Whatever bargain we can get, 40%, 50%. That is important to develop an attraction for Krishna, because these two things are connected. Because unless one is happy doing what he is doing, he won't be happy even connecting that to the Lord. How will he do it? If we ourselves are grudging in trying to do something, what is our impetus to connect to Krishna? We need to have a certain level of satisfaction, happiness, a certain level of self-pride to connect that to Krishna. This is such a wonderful thing Krishna has made. Amazing. Like you make sandes and you want to do something else, but then, you make it somehow or other. You're not very inspired that it should go first thing on the altar, somewhere. So we don't feel that impetus. So we don't have to imitate anybody. That's another thing. We have to just be ourselves. So Maharaj was explaining in that story of how once Bhimsen, he thought, he was comparing himself to Arjun and he was thinking, yaar, Arjun mein itne gun hai, Gandhi bhi chalata hai, Mridang bhi bajata hai, aur gata bhi itna acha hai. Everyone glorifies him. Mujhe sirf gada bhaj nahi aata hai. I just know how to beat up people. So I should also, develop some talent. So he decided, I'm going to learn music. So he gets few guys, I mean expert musicians, and he chooses the spot of the entrance of the city as the place where he would sit and learn music. So Bhimsen is sitting and all the musicians are sitting and he's learning music. And Yudhishthir Maharaj is in great anxiety. He's a very mild person, so he can't go and tell him, Bhimsen, kya kar raha hai tu? Arjun bola, main chota hun, kaise bolu? Nakul, Sahadev were very much scared, kaise batayen abhi? So they all told Draupadi, you go and tell him, stop this. Poor musicians are in fear that if Bhimsen doesn't learn, what will happen to us? Because Gada was still on the side. Although he was doing vocal, So Draupadi goes there and she says, Bhimsen, this is so wonderful. You are learning music. But I've heard from experts that if you want to learn music, you should go to a secluded place. There are so many people going here. It must be disturbing your ragas. And Bhimsen said, yes, yes, Draupadi is intelligent. So he goes to a forest with these musicians. He goes to the forest and he's practicing. And after a few hours, one dhobi comes there. So dhobi comes there. So Bhimsen thinks, wow, finally, I was able to attract somebody by my singing. So Bhimsen, he didn't say that, but he asks him, what brings you here? So dhobi was shivering in fear. He said, batane mein dar lag raha hai, main kyun aaya yahan pe? Keh rahe, nahi, bhay mat karo, main tumhari raksha karunga. Kisse bhay hai tumhe? Keh rahe, aap hi se bhay hai mujhe. Keh rahe, nahi, bolo to se kyun aaye? Keh rahe, kya bataye Maharaj? दो दिन पहले मेरा गधा खो गया था. आवाज आई तो मैं सोचा यहीं होगा. आया तो देखा कि आप तो गा रहे हैं, तो क्षमा कीजिए थोड़ा. सो देन भीमसेन अंडरस्टूड, ओ दैट वाज व्हाई द्रौपदी वाज टेलिंग मी नॉट टू सिंग. ओके, सो ही गोज बैक टू हिज पैलेस. सो आफ्टर अ फ्यू डेज युधिष्ठिर महाराज आस्क्ड भीमसेन, भीमसेन कैन यू गो टू द्वारका एंड गेट कृष्णा बाय इवनिंग? So this is morning time, probably after the morning ablution. Bhimsen, yes, fine, fine, no problem. So Bhimsen said, let me have at least breakfast, then I'll embark on my journey. So he had breakfast, and you know what happens if you have a heavy breakfast. So then he said, let me take some rest. So he rested. And it was late in the afternoon. And Yudhishthir Maharaj asked Bhimsen, you didn't go and bring Krishna? I told you to go and do this job. If I would have told Arjun, he would have done it by now. So then he is lamenting. So he closes his doors and he begins to cry. Bitterly, he is crying. That I have displeased my younger, elder brother Yudhishthir Maharaj. I couldn't do this simple chore for him. Hardly he tells me to do anything and this and that. Krishna! And he's saying, Krishna, you came when Draupadi cried. Can't you come now when I am crying? So like that, he's crying, crying. And suddenly there's a knock on the door. And he knocked on the door. So the door opened, there was a sevak. And he said, Maharaj is calling you. So he runs, abhi kya hone wala hai pata nahi. And there he sees Yudhishthir Maharaj and Krishna sitting. And Yudhishthir Maharaj said, Bhimsen, you didn't tell me that you have actually gone to Dwarka and informed? Why did you lie to me? And Bhimsen is like, speechless. He said, what's going on here? And then Krishna looked at him and he said, yeah, Bhimsen called me. Then Bhimsen is looking quizzically at Krishna and Krishna says, my dear Bhimsen, performance doesn't attract me, devotion attracts me. When you were trying to sing in the forest, that didn't attract me. When you were crying behind the doors bitterly, that attracted me. So don't try to be somebody else. I love you as you are. So very important lesson, because when we are surrounded by talent, it's difficult to be what we are. Extremely difficult to be what we are, because it just shadows us, it just comes over us. So inspiration is a positive aspect of comparison, so that is very good. So that inspiration should be in the level of sincerity. Whatever I can do, I'll do the best I can do. A glass is full and an ocean is full, both experience fullness. Quantities may be different, but a glass is experiencing the same fullness as the ocean is experiencing that fullness, and Krishna is pleased with both these efforts. So, our brahmanas, they actually say this about the queens, about their wives, that these ladies have been able to develop such unlimited love for Krishna and we have failed to do so. They are so glorious. They are so wonderful. So that is not to say good qualification, if somebody comes from good samskaras, there are some obstacles to loving Krishna. Problem is pride. Pride either in our qualification or pride in our disqualification. Both are interferences which hinder us from approaching Krishna. That's why Bhagavatam says, Nati sakto, nati nirvinno. Bhakti yoga asya siddhida. One who is neither too attached nor too much detached, he is qualified for devotion. Because he is not excessively proud. So, His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj writes in his wonderful book, The Journey Within. I'll just read this passage about being ourselves. So he's saying, the bhakti tradition teaches that the core of our being lies our full potential, that each of us is a perfect part of God. When we integrate this truth into our worldview, we realize that our strengths and weaknesses are of no significance when held up to the power of God's love. The power of grace is always greater than the power of illusion. This is beautiful. He says, the mercy of the Supreme is infinitely stronger than our egos, insecurities, and self-destructive tendencies. So it's neither helpful nor healthy to unduly castigate ourselves for our shortcomings. Rather, when we see our failings, bhakti teaches us to turn to the source of grace and then be inspired to make positive change while clearing the mindset that is hindering spiritual awareness. So it's very interesting. He says, we learn to trust God with humility, patience, and courage. So that is, we all have unique qualities which can be connected to Krishna. Krishna is ready to, you know, accept them and reciprocate from them. Because, and other example from, suppose we become expert in utilizing our talents and achieve something amazing for Krishna's mission. Another danger is we mistake that to be our spiritual advancement. Between the Brahmanas, these Brahmins and the Brahmin Patnis, the Brahmanas were definitely more aristocratic, learned, self-controlled, engaged, all those things in Vedic ritualistic sacrifices. But these ladies had something which these Brahmanas missed. That was their absorption and attraction to Krishna. So our karmas, our talents and our skills will bring a lot of accolades while we are trying to pursue the mission in the service of the acharyas. But we have to make separate individual endeavors and efforts to go deeper in our absorption and relationship with Krishna. We many times intellectually understand that sense gratification is bad, that should not be done. That material way of life is not very attractive. But at the same time, we experience a lacuna that we are not able to even have spiritual reciprocations in our life. So the glory of sadhana bhakti, Krishna says in the Gita, Atha chittam samadhatum na shaknoshi mai sthiram abhyas yogena tato maam ichhaptum dhananjaya. So the parameter that we have to see while we are trying to practice sadhana bhakti is not whether tears are coming to my eyes or not, but whether maam ichhaptum dhananjaya is becoming intenser, purer and stronger. That will lead us to the next stage where the mind and intelligence can be engaged in Krishna service. So we have to make this effort, yatantasya dridhavrata. We have to make that effort, we have to make that endeavor. Like some speaker was mentioning in the recent class about quoting Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj, that how you have to sweat by the brow to get some tangible spiritual advancement. So that is also important. So, just a few minutes. So we have to live and serve as per one's capacity in the mood of bhakti. What is bhakti? Yes, we all know the highest definition of bhakti. Anyabhilashita shunyam gyan karma dhyanavritam anukulina krishna anushilana bhakti ruttama. Bhagavatam gives one more definition of bhakti which is more relatable to many of us. This is definitely the highest and that's our aspiration to reach here. He says, yadatra kriyate karma bhagavat paritoshanam jnanam yat tad adhinam hi bhakti yoga samanvitam. He's saying, whatever work is done here in this life for the satisfaction of the Lord is called bhakti yoga, and what is called knowledge becomes a concomitant factor. So when, like Vrajvasi Prabhu was mentioning very beautifully, that how jnana and karma has to be utilized in the process of devotional service, Therefore, he says, Anyabhilashita Shunyam and Gyan Karmadi Anavritam. It should not just cover bhakti, but they can be present around. One can have karma and gyan present around, otherwise you can't even practically serve Krishna. So they can be present, but they should not overpower our bhakti tendencies. So that is like a warning given to us. So Rupa Goswami explains this in great detail, and he basically says, why is it that we have to choose Krishna to strike a relationship? Why Krishna? Why not somebody else? And in Madhurya Kadambani and in Nectar of Devotion, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Rupa Goswami, they contest this, that Krishna is the only hero where you should develop your relationship. And rest everything will fall in place. And they say that how Krishna is Raso Vai Saha, he is Akhil Rasamrit Murti. Because why do we want a relationship? Because we want to experience rasa. Rupa Goswami compares a relationship to like a fruit, and the reciprocation in that relationship like the juice of the fruit. None of us would like to have a dried up mango. Everybody wants an Alfonso. Right? There's juice in it. Right? So similarly, Krishna is that personality where, you know, you can have an intense reciprocation of rasa. And therefore they're saying, strive to develop a relationship with him, because he can perfectly reciprocate with you, because he's a reservoir of rasa. There is unlimited varieties he can reciprocate with each and every devotee. And then Rupa Goswami explains, what is rasa? He says it has five components of vibhav, sthayi bhav, anubhav, sattvika bhav, vyabhichari bhav. Very elaborately he explains that what is this rasa, its component of devotional service. So we see that wherever Krishna is present, there is an explosion of rasa that's happening. And once a person gets acquainted with this theology of rasa, Bhagavatam makes sense. Then we understand why Mahaprabhu is hearing Dhruva Maharaj Charitra 100 times over from Gadadhar Pandit, over and over again, because it's not the contents that is relishing, it is the rasa that is relishing. Like His Grace Govindrabhu in his recent book, The Real Sight, he mentions this point that Shastras are impact-centric, not fact-centric. So when we read pastimes, once you read the pastimes, we know what is there in the pastime. But what we have to look forward is probably the impact that is creating in our practice of Krishna consciousness. So as Krishna is walking into the, wrestling arena after killing Kovalya Pida, so Kamsa is sitting on the top of the dais and he's saying, what is this black and white man, from his assistant? And he says, this is Krishna and Balaram. He said, why they are painted? He said, they're not painted. It is the blood of Kovalya Pida. So Krishna is all auspicious. Generally, if you have blood on your face, you don't come to morning program with blood on your face. You immediately wash it over. It's inauspicious. But Krishna comes in and he's like resplendently beautiful and is attracting everyone. Everyone. With various rasas. All 12 rasas get reciprocated, just one entry of Krishna into the wrestling arena. Who can do that? Generally we see young men get married and they have tough time just managing the relationship with their mother and the wife and then the children and the job. Tough time, right? And you have to separate and things like that. Krishna is walking in. Malla naam arshninda naam narvaram istrinam smaro murtiman. Gopa naam swajano asatashiti bhujam shashna swapitro shishuhu. Mrityu bhoj pater avidusham tatvam param yoginam vrishneti. He says that as Krishna is walking in, the great wrestlers are seeing him as thunderbolt personified. It's death personified. Same Krishna is being seen by his, Nand Maharaj is there and the elders are there. Swapitro shishu. Oh, our child has come. Has he taken breakfast? Has he eaten yesterday? Why is this blood on his body? Is he all right? Gopa naam swajano. And Subal and other Gopas are thinking, oh, Krishna has come. Itna late kyun hua? Kidhar reh gaya tha? Kitna jay se wait kar rahe hum? Gopa jaan swajano. Gopa naam swajano. Actually, it is explained in one of these bhakti literatures that when Krishna kills Charur, Mushtik, Shal, Toshal, so one of the coward boys is thinking, hey, is the same Krishna? Yesterday I defeated him in a wrestling match. Wohi hai kya? So he comes up. Kamsa is sitting, seeing Shal, Toshal, everybody is dead. So he comes up to Krishna. He said, wrestle with me. So Kamsa is getting irritated. He's seeing all these. Kya ho kya raha hai? Ye mazak bana rakha hai. Itna bada sab wrestlers ko maar diya and they are fighting. And Krishna gets defeated. Can you imagine the irritation of Kamsa ki drama kar raha hai kya? And then this Gopa thinks, oh, he's the same Krishna. I defeated him yesterday, I defeated him today. Well, now you can fight anybody you like. Go ahead. Gopa nam swajano. Right? And Mrityu Bhojapati, he's thinking, oh, Mrityu, Sakshat Mrityu has come. Death personified is walking into this arena to kill me. And this foolish priest of Kamsa, they are singing, what an inauspicious person has entered this sacred arena with blood on his body. They are thinking like that. So in this way, all these different people are having, you know, extreme emotions being churned in their hearts, whether favorable or unfavorable. Of course, Rupa Goswami says, even if you please Krishna, if the intention was not favorable, it's not pure devotional service. And even if you displease Krishna apparently, but the intention was favorable, it is pure devotional service. So demon comes, Krishna kills, Krishna loves, but that's not pure devotional service. But Yashoda is trying to chase Krishna. Muhushvasa kampa trireka. He's crying. He's breathing heavily. The same Lord who's yasse kanishvasa kala mathavalambya, the same Lord who's just breathing, creates the manifestation of universe, he's crying bitterly. But Yashoda is pure devotional service. Because the intention is to please the Supreme Personality of God. So our time is up. So to conclude, bhakti is sublime. It is accessible. It is a joyful process to perform. The object of bhakti, Krishna is ready to reciprocate. The human form of life is an apt opportunity to connect with Krishna. Still we see some interference coming, that in spite of all these favorable circumstances, we are not able to connect to the Lord. So in the Amanaya Sutra, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that there are four reasons why the jiva is not able to connect and experience Krishna. And he says, tattva vibhrama, asat trishna, hriday dorbalyam, and aparad, the offenses. They are like paralytic attack on an otherwise healthy man who is fit for his sports. The field is there, man is there, he is still young, but is paralyzed by these anarthas. So Bhagavatam gives this solution. I'll just end with this, that how by regularly taking up the process of devotional service, one is gradually being purified of these interferences. So therefore Rupa Goswami says you have to have a lot of patience, because before you see the light of the day, the interferences has to move out, and that takes a lot of time. Anartha Nivritti has to take a lot of time. So therefore Bhagavatam says that one of the benefits of hearing about Krishna in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, when Parishit Maharaj is beginning to hear, in the 7th chapter he says this, apayati aratir vitrishna. He says five things happen when you hear about Krishna. One of these things is this hankering for enjoying matter subsides. So our acharyas have given us knowledge, they have given us a process, they have given us a facility, so that we just have to practice it and actually, you know, make our life perfect. The Lord is a perfect reciprocator. So there is no impediment in that sense of engaging all our talents, all our skills, all our attributes in the mood of Narayanayeti Samarpayetat. So we have to just take to the blissful process of consciousness and also go through the process of purification. Aho aho bhir nakaler viduyate sudha sudhara madhuram pade pade. Dine dine chandana chandra chitalam yacho yashoda tanayasya giyate. So Krishna Katha is like daily chandan yatra for our mind. So from tomorrow onwards, wonderful festival is beginning, chandan yatra. So the daily chandan yatra for our mind, this agitated mind, is Hari Katha. And when that salve of chandan is applied to this mind, it becomes peaceful and eventually we're able to revive its lost relationship with Krishna. But during the process of bringing out chandan from that hardwood, we all will have to experience and go through that rubbing on that stone slab. Only then the fragrance of devotion will actually come out from our hearts. So I'll thank you very much for your kind attention. I'm sorry, we went a little over time. Grantharaj Shrimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki, Itai Gaur Premanande.